German, imagine if Hitler won, and we are all, you know, living under Hitler's rule. That's what the Jews were living in this day, in this time, when the virgin was found to be with child. They couldn't make their own rules. They couldn't make their own laws. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. They had to pay taxes to Caesar. They were under all kinds of Roman occupation and rules and guidelines and so on. And God could have come and said, bam, you know, you're gone. The Romans are gone. And here's a king, and he comes on the clouds and frees the Israel from oppression. But he didn't. He says, I got a solution for you. Here it is. You ready? You ready? It's a baby. Look at the size of that baby. Look at him. He's wetting himself. Comes as this tiny little thing that couldn't hold a sword whatsoever. Couldn't control anyone. It was completely dependent. In fact, that baby would not have survived for a week if it wasn't for this King of Glory, this Son of the Most High, the one who will be great, who will have the throne of his father David, needs someone to change his diaper. Needs someone to feed him, needs someone to clothe him, needs someone to keep him safe from the wolves and bad camels or whatever back in that day. And why this little thing? Why does God provide an answer in a small package? Well, I think because it takes faith. And faith has been the theme that we've been looking at for the last several weeks about pleasing God with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we might think, well, what do I have? What little thing? You know, who am I? I don't have money. I don't have position. I don't have power. I don't have a fancy this or a fancy that. I don't have... It takes faith. It takes faith. God says and asks, what do you have? What do you have? What promise do you have? What scripture do you know? What do you know to say that this is from the Lord? Or this is what God has, I think, what God has spoken to me. This is what God has given me. When Moses was wrestling with God about delivering the people out of Egypt, Moses was saying, who am I? I don't have anything. He said, what's that in your hand? It's a staff. He had a staff, and he said, throw it down. Basically, give it to me. Let me, and I think what it's saying is nurture what you do have. Nurture that little thing that you do have from the Lord. You don't think you have much? Well, nurture that promise, that idea, that hope, that faith. Nurture your faith, even if it's a teeny little baby mustard seed. Nurture it. Don't say, oh, I have too little. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know what God is going to do, and I'm just going to go with circumstances. No, nurture what God has for you in that little bit. Most of the time, God doesn't just drop a big old answer on us, a big provision, most of the time. Sometimes we have the suddenlies. But most of the time, God gives us something and says, nurture that to maturity in ever-increasing measure. I mean, even when you get a gift from IKEA, you have to nurture that baby. I mean, there's tools and manuals, and you got to follow step one, step two, step three. And we're okay with that, right? Nurture what God gives you and let it have time. Let it. You know, feed it, care for it. God's all about having an ongoing, I think, because God's about having an ongoing relationship. He could have just produced a full-grown king to deliver Israel. He gave a humble Joseph and Mary a little baby and said, nurture this baby because this is going to happen. Great things are going to happen in the future. God's not like a vending machine where I've never known anyone who's had an emotional attachment to a vending machine. You just go up to it, you put your money in, you take what you want, and you leave. There's no hanging out with this vending machine. Look at this thing. This is really cool. Look at the design. No one hangs out. You just get what you want and you go, and God is not like that. God is not, he will provide, and he is a provider, and a lot of times it's amazing. He will even give us something and oftentimes deliver us out of trouble when we don't care about him. And we take what we want, and that's why the warning was to the Israelites when they came to the promised land, when you get there, when you get blessed with homes you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant and gardens you didn't till, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Keep the relationship with the Lord. That's what God is after. He's about relationship. That's why the greatest gift given to mankind came in this little tiny package to a humble couple. And we think we have to have it all figured out, that we got to have it all understood before we will do what we think we should do. And I just want to remind us that it took the wise men about 2 years to get to where the shepherds were on day one. These smart guys, it took them a couple years to get there. That's why I want to emphasize they came to his home. I know we have the Christmas cards that have the shepherds and the wise men all worshiping Jesus, and it's easy, you know, but the reality is it was 2 years later that the wise men got there. That's why Herod killed all the boys two and under, because he wasn't a newborn. He was a toddler, which is a great little toddler over there. So thanks, Eric and Katie, for little Benny. But I want to look at this in real quick, and then we'll be done. When we choose to nurture our faith in God, and I just got four short points. One is we allow God to be in charge. When we choose to say, you know what, I'm going to go with faith, I'm not going to have it all figured out, what we're saying is, God, you're in charge and I'm not. God, you're in the driver's seat. I know this is not new, but Joseph and Mary humbled themselves despite all the crazy promises and all the crazy things that they were being told. Yeah, you know that fiance of yours, she's with child. It's like, what? And no, hold on, it's okay because it's of the Holy Spirit. What? And I want you to take her as your wife. What? And he was a righteous, godly man, but he chose to believe it. We talked about it last week. Chose to believe God, and he took her as his wife, knowing that the whole community would think she went off and got pregnant by somebody else, because the whole community knew that Joseph was not the father. But he still, by faith, let God be in charge and didn't let his mind be in charge. Can anyone relate to that, where we think we got to have it figured out? I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make any sense. No, God, here, let me explain, God. Here, God, let me explain to you something. And I know it's ridiculous for us to explain to God. And God says, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And when we choose to nurture, and this is nurturing, it's not automatic. I'm talking about nurturing takes time. These little guys need to be nurtured over and over. Moms, dads, you know what? Amen to that? Amen. They need nurturing. It's not automatic. And you basically, it starts off with, in that we allow God to be in charge, it's like you are saying, my son Gabriel and wife Georgina just had their first, it's like your life is no longer your own, right? You don't just like up and go and do whatever you want like you did 2 months ago and for the first few years. Now that baby is here, it's like everything revolves around that little baby, and rightfully so and gladly so. And it's thankfully God makes little babies so cute. Can you imagine they were born really ugly and just, you know, and stunk or nasty. I don't know. They kind of stink. They do kind of. But even the stink, and that's part of my point. When you're nurturing something by faith that God has given to you, sometimes it stinks. Sometimes it's like, this is sacrifice. This is, I could have had a new car, but I trust you, God, that the tithe is the way to go. That is God's idea. That's just an example. I trust you, God, that I'm going to do this rather than get that. And sometimes it stinks, but you choose to nurture that over time, and it's not immediate gratification like a vending machine. God is about relationship and over time nurturing. And then number two, we cooperate with God's plans over ours. And this is just not just a will mindset, but it's an action. It's like, I will do this. I will, even if it's a small thing, I will nurture this relationship in the body of Christ. I will make time to get in the scripture. I will start my day before the Lord in the Bible. I will commit to connecting to the body of Christ. You know, Jesus is the head. We talk about Jesus is the head. And the head can't do anything without the body. And of course, the body is pretty helpless without a head. But the body is the people. The church is the body of Christ. And we need to be joined and woven together to be connected in order to accomplish what the head, the Lord Almighty, wants accomplished. You can't be on your own. You can't be a healthy, thriving, nurturing faith Christian by yourself with no connection to the body. Any more than if my arm just fell off and was laying on the stage, it wouldn't be of much use. And I wouldn't be of much benefit to it if it's disconnected. And that's how it is when we're disconnected from a church, from believers, from others, all the one and others are so important to nurture our faith. And that's cooperating with God's plans. And then three, we trust God's timing over ours. Because there's so many things that, again, the baby starts little, and it takes time to nurture that little one over many, many years. And it takes time when God gives you something, God is speaking to you about something. It's not immediate, it's not microwave, it's not automatic. It takes time, and God wants you to trust him along the way. To trust his timing, because remember, 400 years of silence. You might be going through 10 years of silence. You might be going through 1 year of silence in some way where you're praying and you're asking God and you're waiting on the Lord and God seems to be silent. But God is saying, trust me in this. Trust my timing in this. And let your faith grow. Because oftentimes we think God's not moving fast enough. But when our faith grows, we find that, you know what? His timing is great. His timing, and just remember those things that seemed like it wasn't happening, it wasn't happening, it wasn't happening. Guys, remember being single? It's like, man, this is taking forever. When is it going to happen? And then, bam, just like that. We got a wife. So there's so many things like that. Just remember those things. God's timing is perfect. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. And we're in an era now where he's waiting on the eyes of the Jews are blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And how are the fullness of the Gentiles going to come in? Through us, sharing the good news of great joy that's for all people. And then when that happens, then the eyes of the Jews will be opened up. And they will see that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. The one they've been waiting for. So the last one is, this is the coolest benefits, one of the coolest benefits, allowing him to be boss, allowing him to cooperate with him, trusting his timing is number four, we see him. This, I think, is the greatest, because when we When we let him be in charge by faith, when we cooperate by our actions with him, and when we trust his timing, we don't bail out when it doesn't look like it's happening the way we expected it to happen, but we trust him even when it's not going so well, then we start to see God. Amen? Can anyone, we start to see his hand. It's like, wow, God, you're real. You're alive, which is a cycle that makes us want to let him be all the more in charge, which makes us want to all the more go with his plans and take action in his plans, which makes us all the more want to trust his timing. And it's just a wonderful cycle. I just want to encourage you this year, this Christmas, to celebrate the little things that God has given you. And it's not all figured out. The timing isn't yours, it's God's. The plans aren't necessarily yours. But I believe this process happens by God giving us baby provisions and baby answers and things. Like the baby Jesus, like the baby Moses was given. He was 80 years old before God set him into action. The people did baby steps around Jericho after 40 years in the wilderness. And when God warned Noah that trouble's coming, he couldn't run to Lacan's Marine and go buy a boat, right? He couldn't go to Chatterton or Lampert's and get lumber. You know what he did? He took his baby steps were to build this 450-foot-long boat. He cut down a tree and then had to mill that tree and cut down another one and mill that one and cut down another one and mill that one. He did some major baby steps. It took 100 years for Noah to build the answer that God showed him early on. And he easily could have said, I'm through with this. This is taking too long. This isn't my timing. This isn't my idea. But Noah is commended as being one of the heroes of faith. And we can do it too, guys. We can do it. We can nurture that little faith to get it older, more mature, see God do things. So what small things has he given you? Small piece of hope? Small something that you take by faith? Might not look like much, but nurture it, water it, feed it, care for it. So, and as we do, we're going to better see his hand actively in our lives, I believe. And when you see him actively moving in your life, you'll know why he's been given the name Emmanuel. Because you'll know that God is with us and God is with you. That's the good news of great joy for all people. All right, let's stand up and close, and we have an ornament to give to all the kids before you go home. Not just the craft, but another ornament. So don't leave without it. So I hope you enjoyed the service. I hope it was meaningful to you. I hope you got some good photos of your cute kids, wonderful kids that you're nurturing. So keep it up. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending your son as an infant, trusting the human race, trusting Joseph and Mary to raise him up, and trusting us to get the message of good news across the world. Lord, help us to nurture well what you've given to us, what you've entrusted to us. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have, and teach us how to water it and feed it and care for it, and not give up, not bail out, and to know that it's about relationship with you, because you're so much greater than what we see. God, help us to honor you as we celebrate and visit with family and friends. We just thank you for your goodness to us and your great grace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And can we just close? I know it's cheesy. Close with one thing. Happy birthday to you.